Namanda, butsu namanda, butsu namanda, butsu namanda, butsu namanda, butsu namanda, butsu namanda.
I'll begin my talk this morning with one of Shinran Shonin's wasan. These wasan are hymns that we chant regularly. They express our joy and appreciation of the Nembutsu teaching that we receive from Shinran Shonin. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegaishimasu. The liberating wheel of light is without bound. Each person, it is taught, is freed from attachments to being and non-being upon being touched by this light. So take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination. Gedatsu no kōrin ki wa monashi kousoku kamuru mono wa mina eme o hanaru to nobeta mo byodo hukaku ni kimyo se yo.
Namanda butsu, namanda butsu, namanda butsu, namanda
butsu. Good morning, everyone. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. We're now in the month of February. February is one of the important services we have this month for the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. So can anyone tell me what the important major service we have for Shakyamuni Buddha? We're going to do it next Sunday. It's an important service. Do you know, Nicole? Nirvana Day, that's correct. And what is Nirvana Day in observance of? It's a little bit of a trick question. Do you know, Dilma? That's very close. Oftentimes we think about Nirvana as the Buddha's enlightenment. So we think Nirvana Day is the day the Buddha became enlightened. But we have another service in December for the Buddha's enlightenment. What service is that? Nicole? Bodhi Day, that's right. So Nirvana Day is, we say, the day the Buddha entered Parinirvana. The Buddha's Parinirvana is when the Buddha died. The Buddha was a human being, just like you and me. The Buddha taught that all human beings eventually die. Nobody lives forever. So Nirvana Day is the day when we remember the Buddha's passing into Parinirvana, the end of his life in this world. In Buddhism, we often observe these memorial services. Remember last month we had our memorial service for Shinran. Some of you will stay for 10:30. We'll be doing our Shotsuki memorial for our family members and loved ones who passed away in the month of February. So memorial services are an important part of our Buddhist tradition when we remember our loved ones and the lives that they lived. And so this month we're remembering Shakyamuni Buddha and remembering the teachings that he gave, the various sermons and teachings that were taught by Shakyamuni Buddha or which occurred in his life, around him. And so today, I'm going to talk a little bit about a teaching that we don't often talk about here at our temple, but it's one of the most interesting teachings from the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. It's called the Vimalakirti Sutra. In Japanese, it's called the Yuimagyo. 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 And Vimalakirti was not a monk. Vimalakirti was what we call a householder. He was a person, he lived at home, he had a family, he had a wife, he had children, he was actually a very successful businessman. So he lived at home, but he was also a very devout disciple of the Buddha's teachings, and he was very wise. In fact, he understood the teachings as deeply as the Buddha's closest disciples. So the Buddha was very close to Vimalakirti. And one day, Vimalakirti, he became very sick. He became so sick that he couldn't go out of his bed. He couldn't leave his bed. He was lying in bed. He was very sick. And so when people are very sick, sometimes we go to visit them, right? We go to visit them in the hospital, or we go to visit them at their home to wish them well, to maybe wish them a speedy recovery, to see if there's something we can do to make them more comfortable. And so many visitors came to visit Vimalakirti. Many people came to visit Vimalakirti, but one person didn't visit Vimalakirti, and that was the Buddha. And Vimalakirti started to wonder, the Buddha is the most compassionate being. He's the kindest, most caring person. Why doesn't he come visit me? Why doesn't he at least send someone to come and find out how I'm doing? Since the Buddha is so compassionate, shouldn't someone at least come and represent the Buddha to visit me? And the Buddha had a very special power because he was enlightened. He could perceive whenever anybody thought about him or had a question for him, the Buddha immediately knew this. And so immediately he knew, oh, Vimalakirti would like me to send someone to visit him. So he turned to his closest disciple. His closest disciple was Shariputra. Shariputra. We've talked about Shariputra before. Shariputra was very, very wise. An enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So the Buddha said, Shariputra, will you go on my behalf and pay a visit to Vimalakirti? And Shariputra said, you know, I'd rather not. What? The Buddha said, why not? He said, well, you know, there was this one time when I was sitting very peacefully in meditation. I was sitting very calmly, meditating in a grove. I had attained a wonderful state of concentration. And Vimalakirti came up to me and he said, Shariputra, you shouldn't meditate like that. Why not? What's wrong with my meditation? When you meditate like that, you're meditating as if sitting in meditation is somehow different from everything else that you do all day long. When you meditate, there should be no difference from meditating and not meditating. Huh? What? Keep meditating on this point. All right? Shariputra said, Vimalakirti is a very difficult individual. I don't think I would be the best person to go visit him. And so the Buddha said, okay. He turned to his number two disciple, Mahamoggallayana. Do you remember Mahamoggallayana? We talk about him at Obon. Mahamoggallayana was also very enlightened. He had very exceptional powers of perception. He was very wise, and he was a wonderful Dharma teacher. The Buddha said, Mahamoggallayana, why don't you go and visit Vimalakirti for me? You know what Mahamoggallayana said? You know, I'd rather not. Why not? Well, there was this one day when I was sharing a sermon, I was giving a Dharma talk to a group of householders, a group of people like Vimalakirti. And Vimalakirti walked up to me and he said, Mahamoggallayana, that is not the way to give a Dharma talk. It's not the way to speak, right? It's not the way you should give a Dharma message. And he said, why not? What's wrong with this Dharma talk? He said, you shouldn't give a Dharma talk as if there is some difference between you and the people you're talking to. When you're giving a message, you're talking as if somehow that you and the people you're talking to are two different people. When you give a Dharma talk, there should be no difference between self and other. Think about this before you speak. Mahamoggallayana said, Vimalakirti is a very difficult guy. He's a very difficult individual. You know, I'd rather not be the one to go speak to him. I don't think I'm the right one. So the Buddha said, okay, well, I have one disciple who is the most enlightened. He shares my enlightened mind. When I pass on, he will be the one to lead the Sangha. His name is Mahakashyapa. Mahakashyapa, you should be the one to go and speak and go and say hello to Vimalakirti and wish him well on my behalf. Actually, I'd rather not. What? Why not? Well, there was this one time when I was going around begging for alms. The Buddha's disciples, they get their food by going door to door and receiving alms. Mahakashyapa said, no, my custom is always to go and beg for alms from the poorest people. People usually go to the rich people because they have the best stuff to offer, right? But I always go to the poor people because it's a great, wonderful act of merit. It's a wonderful thing to be able to practice generosity for a monk. So to give someone an opportunity to practice generosity is a wonderful circumstance that I can provide. So I always go to the poor people. But one day, Vimalakirti came up to me and he said, Mahakashyapa, you shouldn't go around begging for alms like this. You've got it all wrong. In your mind, there should be no difference between the rich and the poor. When you go and beg for alms, you should do so with no difference between rich and poor. Think about this before you go and beg alms. Vimalakirti is a difficult, difficult individual. I think someone else would be better to go. One after another, the Buddha asked all his disciples. Everyone had a similar story. Vimalakirti telling them that they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that, they shouldn't go around with a discriminating mind. He's a difficult guy. Finally, the Buddha arrived at the wisest person, the Bodhisattva Manjushri. Bodhisattva Manjushri is usually depicted carrying a sword because he carries the sword of wisdom that cuts through the darkness of illusion. Finally, Manjushri agrees. Okay, I will go. But I'm reluctant, but no one else will go, and I feel compassion for Vimalakirti, so I will be the one to go. So Vimalakirti receives Manjushri as his guest. And everybody else says, wow, Vimalakirti and Manjushri, this is going to be great. This is like the two wisest people are going to have a debate. We definitely have to see this. I can't see this. So everybody else who initially was refusing to go, now they're like, I got to see this. And so they all go along. They all go along. And when they arrive, Vimalakirti sees them coming, and he clears out his room. He sends away all his servants. He clears out all the furniture, so there's nothing in the room. And as they arrive, Mahamudgalyayana, Shariputra, all the others, they walk in. Manjushri greets Vimalakirti. He says, Vimalakirti, I hear you're not feeling well. How is your illness? Vimalakirti says, well, the Buddha teaches that there is no me and no mine. So there is no me who is sick, and there is no my illness. And thus begins a profound debate, a profound conversation about the Buddha's teaching, no self and other, being free from discriminating mind, right? But as they're walking in, Shariputra has a question. He has a deep concern. He says, there are no seats here. He got rid of all the furniture. Where are we going to sit? And Vimalakirti asks him a question. He says, Shariputra, did you come here to hear the Dharma? Or did you come here to sit in a comfortable chair? Right? He says, oh, I came to hear the conversation between you and Manjushri. I came to hear the Dharma. He says, very good. Remember that. And then Vimalakirti is a good host, so he produces comfortable chairs for everyone. Big comfortable chairs. Everybody somehow can sit very comfortably without bumping into each other, and yet the room does not get any bigger. So they realize Vimalakirti has created a very special place through his wisdom, and there are other wise beings who are there. Vimalakirti is not the only special teacher here. There's a goddess who appears. She appears during the conversation, and she's so delighted to see all these bodhisattvas, all these enlightened disciples of the Buddha, that she begins to scatter flower petals like this, right? And these flower petals are scattered down, and as they land on the bodies of the enlightened bodhisattvas, they just slide right off. But as they land on the bodies of Shariputra and Mahamoggallana, they stick. And so Mahamoggallana, Shariputra, can't get it off. And the goddess asks him, "What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get this flower petal off." "Why?" "Well, Buddhist monks can't walk around with flower petals stuck on their clothes. This is not in keeping with the Dharma." He says, "Don't say that. Don't say that. Look at the enlightened bodhisattvas. They have no mind of yes and no. They have no mind of what is and is not appropriate. They have been free from the mind that says self and other." And so the flower petal just falls off. There's a reason that flower petal sticks to you. And so Shariputra says, "You are very wise. You are very wise. How did you get so wise?" He says, "I've been here as long as you've been enlightened. I've been here with Vimalakirti, learning from his teachings." He says, "Then you must be a truly enlightened being. Why is it that you do not transform your female body to become a man?" "Why would I do that?" "Well, shouldn't enlightened beings have a male body?" She says, "Are you an enlightened being?" He says, "Yes, I am." And then, just like that, she transforms so that Shariputra has her female body, and she has Shariputra's body. "Are you still enlightened?" "Yes, I am." "Why don't you transform that body?" Shariputra says, "There's nothing to transform." She says, "That's right. The Buddha teaches that male and female, these are just distinctions that we create with our delusory, mistaken way of thinking." And then, just like that, she switches it back. Shariputra says, "Indeed, I've learned many things today. A marvelous, marvelous place is Vimalakirti's room. Vimalakirti is a wonderful teacher because he doesn't just tell people what they want to hear. He challenges their usual way of thinking. He helps them to see that there's no distinction between is and is not. This very profound and deep Buddhist teaching. I find this very hard to understand. How about you?" It's very profound, right? Even Shariputra, the Buddha's enlightened disciple, struggled with this teaching. How can someone like me get it? I'm just an ordinary bombu, an ordinary unenlightened being. Well, Shinran Shonin says that we too can attain this level of understanding by receiving the Buddha's wheel of light. In the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu, we feel the light of the Buddha's wisdom shining on us, liberating all beings from this mind of yes and no, is and is not, the mind of discrimination. So in the Nembutsu, we receive this. Our tradition, our practice is to say these words, Namo Amida Butsu, throughout our daily lives. And when we say this, we recognize it's so difficult to break free of this mind of yes, no, is not. And yet, when we reach the world of the Buddha's enlightenment, we have this profound liberation, and we're guided to that world by the Nembutsu, by Namu Amida Butsu. Right? So we hear these words of Shinran Shonin, and we live in the Nembutsu, in the hope that we too can begin to see the world with the broad and expansive mind of those enlightened disciples like Vimalakirti, receiving the mind of Amida Buddha's compassion. So in conclusion, I'd like to once again hear these words of Shinran Shonin assuring us that we too will realize this awakened mind. Shinran Shonin no kotoba de owaritai to omoimasu. Please join me in gassho. Gassho o onegai shimasu. The liberating wheel of light is without bound. Each person it touches, it is taught, is freed from the attachments to being and non-being. So take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination. Gedatsu no kōrin kiwa mo nashi, kōsoku kamuranu, mono wa mina, umu o hanaru to nobetamo o, byōdō gaku ni kimyō se o. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.